Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm good. I'm drinking a lemon tea, a powdered tea that you buy in the supermarket that has lemon in it, and it's very delicious. I remember having it when I was a kid, and I'm sort of getting reacquainted with it. Big fan of this nonsense.
Taking his nostalgic lemons. I'm drinking a Boss Coffee. Boss Coffee Farm Black. It's quite good, actually.
Yeah, tin. I mean, what time is it there in Japan, Chris? And where are you? What are you going to be doing later?
6:56 p.m. And I'm in Yamagata.
Drinking
coffee. In a hotel room. In a quiet room, drinking my Boss Coffee. And then after this podcast, I've got a summit with the great Natsuki, who I haven't seen since Journey Across Japan, actually. So it's going to be nice to hang out with him and see how is the sales of his hand jelly went through the roof after last week's video. I'm sure they didn't.
Keep us posted. But,
yeah. I mean, I don't think that he's selling them anymore. I think he sold out. So we'll find out. But it's interesting. I don't, every now and then, like one of my friends who I haven't spoken to in a long time will just drop me a message somewhere from the UK. And someone, a good friend who I haven't spoken to in a while, sent me a message today revealing a Japanese word that intrigued him. It's the word, a phrase that for some reason he found intriguing. And it is kuchisabeshi. Kuchisabeshi. Do you know what that means, Pete? Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of that, no.
So kuchi, what's kuchi? Kuchi.
I don't know.
A quiz show, isn't it?
Yeah,
you don't know. All right, what about?
I don't know. No.
What about sabishi?
That sounds more like a feeling.
Yeah,
that sounds more like a feeling. So maybe the first bit was like a body part or a car, something. I don't know.
A body part or a car. Close, very close. So kuchi means mouth, and sabishi means lonely. And the phrase kuchi sabishi literally means lonely mouth or longing to to put something in one's mouth.
that sounds a
little bit
sexy.
Dodgy. Don't let your imagination run wild like it always does, Mr.
Too
Donaldson.
Late, mate. Too late.
It does. It means eating when bored, or sometimes like eating when you're stressed. For example, you could say, Corona no se de, saikin kuchisabeshi, literally because of the coronavirus, I'm stress eating recently.
Oh, right.
But I don't know what about that he found so interesting or funny. He hasn't spoke to me in like 2 years. And he just messaged me like, look at this word. It's like, not hello, Chris. How are you? What have you been doing the last year? It's just, look at this word. Kuchisabeshi.
Well, it is funny because it's just like the idea that your mouth's so lonely. I just want to hang out with some food.
Well, your mouth isn't lonely. You've been having bloody lemons all morning.
No. When life gives you a packet of lemon tea, you make lemon tea. That's my motto. That's my mantra.
Good man. I mean, I thought there's another interesting word, another friend, like a few months ago, and I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast, another interesting Japanese word that we don't really have in the English language. And there's a lot, you know, we always talk about it. This one, sundoku suru, which means to buy books and not read them. Literally just to buy books and just leave them on the shelf. Sundoku,
sundoku
suru. Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? What would you, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you could sort of say that with all of my Japanese books. If I buy if I buy one more instructional book or how to learn Japanese, maybe then I'll be able to learn Japanese. Absolute nonsense.
What books do you have on learning Japanese? I don't think I've ever asked. I know
I've got seven of them. Little vocabulary books, little vocabulary books, full on kind of, you know, Japanese for busy people, all those kind of ones as well.
Oh God,
I don't know, man. I'm just an idiot.
I know you use the tried and tested shower curtain technique where you just like stick words
exactly
over your shower curtain. Hasn't really worked though, has it?
Within
reason.
Not really, no.
But there you go. Now, at least you know one phrase today. It's your speedy Japanese of the day, Pete. Kuchisabashi. Use that in the office. Use that at
Kuchisabashi.
Work. Impress people. Round of that one. Lonely mouth. And now we turn our attention to story of the week. And this week it's from Andy. And he says, hello, Chris and Pete. Hope you're both doing well. And greetings from Finland. It's a nice change. I think most of our listeners are from Sweden. I don't think we have many listeners in Finland. So, yeah. Wonderful. Andy says, the recent podcast mention of Chris eating wild boar, which I did do last week with Ryotaro, and another listener's story about the Japanese police tactics reminded me of a story from my exchange in Japan. I was in a rather fancy private school located on the edge of Kobe. The school was the last building before the beginning of the mountain and the forest. One day, a wild boar basically just tumbled onto the schoolyard and started pacing around the yard. All of the students gathered to watch the situation from the balconies and the hallways. Our rather macho PE karate teacher went to confront the boar, but after a brief standoff, the karate teacher excused himself in a rather panicky fashion and retreated to the relative safety of the school. After that, the boar roamed the yard and visited one of the buildings. After about 30 minutes, the police showed up in four patrol cars equipped with bulletproof vests. Having confronted the bear and cornered it against the mountainside, the police shot it, covered it with a tarpaulin, and the situation came to an end. My quip of looking forward to the following day's cafeteria tonkatsu, breaded pork, was not well received by my female classmates, but I eventually regained my standing, unlike the boar. Best wishes to you guys in the extended Abroad in Japan universe. All the best, Andy. Oh, that poor boar. Although I say poor
incredible,
boar.
Huh?
They're very aggressive and unpleasant often, aren't they? Wild boars.
I, to be honest, I have very little contact with boars day to day, I have to say.
The streets of London. I mean, that's sad. I feel kind of sad there. I mean, it's probably for the best. Boars, imagine if it just like the boar had just gone through the school and just ripped all the students to pieces. That would have been pretty unpleasant. They had nasty tusks. But
good Lord.
They were delicious. I did have a boar with Ryotaro in a video that's probably coming out in January. We ate a bear, we ate a boar, we ate a deer. There was scarcely an animal that wasn't eaten that day. And the most delicious of all was the deer. The deer was the best. Bear wasn't that good. Stick with the deer. Right, story of the week. We have covered some really weird robberies in our time on this podcast. Crime in Japan often seems to have like a comedic twist to it. Do you remember any of the previous ones, Pete? Do you remember the guy? Is there a guy that burgled his own store with a mask on? And
oh, yes. Yeah. Is that you, Steve? No.
Steve, yeah. That was his name. The manager of like a convenience store burgled it with a mask on. And while he was talking and trying to get the money out of the till, his colleagues quite obviously went, oh, wait a minute, is that? What are you doing? What's going on? Oh, it's a test to see what you would do if I was a real burglar. And he got arrested, quite rightly so. But there was another ridiculous attempted robbery in Ikebukuro in Tokyo this week, involving in Japan recently, a lot of convenience stores have been hiring workers, foreign workers from Nepal, from India, I guess because the labor is kind of cheaper to do that. But it's not uncommon now to go into Tokyo and see a worker in a Japanese convenience store that's not Japanese. And on the morning of September 10th, a 20-year-old Nepalese man was working behind the register in a convenience store. And about 3 a.m., a man dressed in black with a bandana obscuring his face came into the store, walked up to the counter and started brandishing a box cutter. And he said, "Take the cash out of the register and put it in a plastic bag," he demanded. And in response, the Nepalese clerk, who spoke in Japanese, just went, "Why? Why?" The masked man wasn't really expecting this. He was caught off guard and he sort of went, because I don't have any money. By this time, though, some other customers have walked into the store because his robbery was so slow. The store had gone from being quiet and empty to being filled up with other customers. And in the end, he ran off with no money apart from a single rice ball. He pinched an onigiri rice ball. And the police are looking for him right now, this great thief. But what was interesting was TBS News, the Japanese TV channel, really big one, commented that on how the Nepalese clerk couldn't understand Japanese, rather than sort of say, "Well done, he prevented this crime from taking place." They called him out for his Japanese being bad. What they claim is that the robber came in, said, "Take the cash out of the register and put it in a plastic bag," and then they claim the Nepalese clerk just didn't understand the Japanese, what was being said to him. When really, I think he did, because he said, you know, "What, why, what's going on?" Like, it seems that wasn't really an issue, but they've called him out on it. It's a bit bizarre, isn't it? Rather than hail him for his
bravery. Yeah, I think it's just sounds like a very right-wing press to me. Sounds like a slightly kind of looking for, rather than, I've seen stories like that about British Asians in England and sort of people who don't speak amazing English having real problems when it comes to when they've done something good, their story and their the language they speak, it seems to be more important than their actual bravery, which is incredible, really. In a modern,
what's interesting,
modern city.
Apparently, when the guy was like, "Give me the money," the guy didn't go, "Oh, sorry, I don't know what you're saying." He said, "Why?" Which is, he shows that he understood.
Yeah, very good question. Yeah, why? Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing
through
this?
Through him.
Because I've got no money.
Can I interest you in a rice ball?
Bizarre situation. Well done him. Saving the store from being robbed. All the many money. The many money.
But God, that rice ball is coming out of his wages.
100 yen lost. But there's some really bizarre crimes here. We'll have to keep an eye out and see if we can find any more, to be honest. Still not as good as the manager robbing his own store.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they?
Right.
I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful home-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
We turn our attention now to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, I was taking a sip of me tea there. Hey, Chris,
there's no time for lemon tea on the podcast.
I know. Oh, it's so sharp. I'm enjoying it. I just recently started listening to your podcast while at work. I'm a dog kennel worker, so I need to have something in my ears aside from barking pups. Oh. Laurie Lear's name is. Fantastic job. Anyway, just want to say thanks for all your videos. I think they've helped my dad cope with the fact I want to live in Japan. I'm going to uni for a bachelor's degree in Japanese. And I hope to leave around about 2025. A question for good measure. So my name can be quite hard for even English speakers to say. It's said like Lorelei. I've just looked down at the bottom. Is it Lorelei? Lorelei. With all the L and R sounds, would it be difficult for native? Lorelei. Lorelei is written Lorelei there, as in L-I-E, lie. But I think it's Lorelei, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. Should I maybe go by another name, like my middle name, or do you think it would be okay as is? I hope that all made sense, LOL. thanks for everything. Lorelei Varbel. Fantastic. Great name. Great job.
The name that,
fantastic work.
The name that broke Pete Donaldson. never had that in a podcast.
It says lie, though. It's spelled in the phonetic spelling. It says lie. So I've got to go with that. Laura Lie. Beautiful name. Lie. But yes, I imagine it will be very difficult in Japan.
God. I mean, we've had some names in the past. I think Elizabeth. Mm. We had a listener called Elizabeth a few months ago who was worried coming to teach in Japan that her colleagues and students wouldn't be able to pronounce her name. So she sort of said, should I just call myself Beth? But we sort of said, I think Elizabeth is quite an easy one. It's Elizabeth. Lorelei. God, fall into the Pete Donaldson trap. Lorelei, I don't know what I would do there. That's going to destroy the mouths of
Rorelei.
Japan. Lorelei.
Interesting. I'm enjoying it. I'm sure they can manage it, but
my Japanese tutor many years ago, Ito-sensei, sadly passed away. He said that the most difficult word for Japanese people to pronounce was thriller. Thriller. Can you imagine what that's like?
Surira.
Yeah.
Surira?
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
Surira. The first becomes sus, don't they?
Surira. It's the L and R sounds, a nightmare. Lorelei. Yeah, I can't. If I can't do it, the people in Japan might have a bit of difficulty. Nevertheless, I don't think that should stop you from changing your name or having some sort of nickname, to be honest, Lorelei. I think you should stick with it. And let us know how you get on. We got one here from Lucas. He says, hey, fellas, hope all is well with you and your families, as well as your friends. I plan on visiting Japan when travel restrictions end. And my question is, would 4,500 Canadian dollars, about 359,000 yen, what's that in American dollars? Don't know, we'll get to that in a bit. Would that be enough for 30 days in Japan? I get so many mixed answers about being 22. I've only travelled to New York City with my parents back in high school, and I'd love to know from people who have lived or stayed in Japan for such a long time whether I should save more money or if that would be enough. Also, you guys should consider maybe doing a special live stream of the show with cameras so the fans can see your beautiful faces. Stay safe. Look forward to hearing from you guys. All the best, Lucas. I agree, Lucas. Let's get Pete Donaldson in a live stream. Let's get his swanky facial hair out to the masses that they so deserve. God, what's 4,500 Canadian dollars in a currency?
It's,
I understand
in United States in United States dollars, that's 3,482 United States dollars. So okay, around about that.
Mm. That's about what, $100 a day, just over. Difficult. I'd say no. I'd say you need a bit more than that. Mm. For example, if you're going to come to Japan for 30 days. Realistically, you're going to get the 21-day rail pass. That's about $600, 60,000 yen. Mm. Accommodation clocks in around, $70 a day.
If you're willing to do capsule hotels and get on a kind of like a rigorous leaving the hotel at 10 o'clock kind of routine, that's not something I've ever achieved. But, yeah.
I don't know. I think you could do it, but I think you'd have to make a lot of sacrifices. My advice would be to do 21 days instead of 30 days if you want to keep the amount of money the same. Mm. Or if you do want to stay another week, maybe add another kind of, I don't know, $1,000. There's no fixed amount for a month in Japan. Typically for 2 weeks, I would say about $3,000 is a good amount to have fun and do lots of interesting things. Like there's experiences you kind of need to do in Japan, I feel, to get the most out of it. Like staying the night in a traditional Japanese inn at Ryokan, that costs around $200, $250 a night on average, I'd say. Love hotels cheaper, that 3,000 yen for 2 hours. You can still get the whole experience, 2 hours, 3,000 yen. Mm. But I'd say a good budget is about $100 a day. No, I'd say it's more than that. It's more like $150. Don't know. But no, it's not enough. I'd say save a bit more money, to be honest. What are your thoughts, Pete?
As much money as you can possibly muster would be probably preferable. But yeah, I mean, like, you're not far off with $3,500 there. If you're willing to sort of do, you know, capsule hotels and cheap it out. Again, as long as you've got your train, you've got your transport. Mm. And maybe a little bit more money for a metro kind of Suica card and stuff. It's possible. You're not gonna have a suitcase full of souvenirs once you get back. But I don't know. It's eminently doable. But you'd probably have a bit more fun if you just added another grand onto that. So I don't know. Get on the old garage sale or I don't know what kids over there do. Lemonade stands.
With that budget,
working a dog hospital. I don't know.
He's not coming back with any rice cookers, is he? Not on that budget. Get some more money. That's my advice. Get a credit card. That's what I did for most of my 20s. I lived off an overdraft and a credit card. Make sure you pay it off. We don't encourage that. Not here on the Abroad Japan podcast. We've got one from Bjorn, and that's your one, Pete. Another right, slightly then. Tricky name.
Bjorn. Hi, Chris. Hi, Pete. This is Bjorn from Germany. I just want to share two stories with you that happened on my first trip to Japan last year. On my first day in Tokyo, I was pretty jet lagged and it was quite a humid day for October, at least when you've just arrived from pretty cold Germany. So after visiting the Meiji Shrine in Shibuya, I just wanted to take a stop at Tokyo Tower and afterwards continue to Odaiba to watch the sunset. When I arrived at Tokyo Tower, I was completely soaked in sweat. Not a nice experience for anyone watching that wreck of a gaijin. Anyway, at the base of the tower, I spotted a small shop selling matcha ice cream. Hooray! So after waiting in line, I ordered mine. While waiting for it, I was watching the surroundings. When I looked back, there was an extremely good-looking ice on the counter. So I took it. Instantly, the woman behind the counter became very livid and said, "No, no, no, not that one." And a man in the line behind me was laughing, saying, "That is just a sample." It was then I realized that the ice in my hand was made of plastic. I've heard of the Japanese way to make models of the food you're going to order, but I'd completely forgotten about it. So we had a good laugh and I enjoyed my ice cream afterwards. This time, the real one. That sounds like absolute jet lag behavior. Sleepy as hell, sort of sweaty. You want an ice cream. You pick it up. It's plastic. You start eating the plastic. People are screaming at you. Get out my shop. You've eaten my plastic food. Awful.
We've all been there at some point or another, especially when jet lagged. The plastic foods in Japan and in Asia in general, I think, are just so... detailed, so meticulous, aren't they? They're called shokuhin sampuru, like a sample of food sample, basically. But they're just really good. Like, go to any family diner and there'll be like a little glass window out the front of the restaurant, right? And you've got like all the little bread and the soup and the steak, and it's all immaculately done. Sometimes it looks like the real thing. Really quite impressive. Shame we don't have that in the UK. I'd love that. Gets me hyped up for food. Yeah, gets me feeling hungry.
But it doesn't mean you can't kind of like you've got to have all of the ingredients for all of those dishes. So you can't really sort of you can't really invent a new dish and stick it on the menu, because you'd have to get the plastic one made up.
Fair point. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? I wonder why that took off in Japan but not, say, the UK or Europe. It's one of those slightly odd things, isn't it?
Probably because we'd have to order the plastic food from Taiwan, and it's miles away. So yeah. It's probably easy to do all the way in Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, it's big business. I read that, you know, these plastic foods, the shokuhin sampo, there are a lot of millions of dollars every year get spent on them. Mm. Unsurprising, given I think Tokyo has more restaurants. Tokyo alone, I think, has more restaurants than any other city in the world. Well, that is an easy battle, given that Tokyo is the world's biggest city, Tokyo metropolitan area. Don't let me get caught out on that one. A lot of people, sometimes people call me out when I quote the size of a city. For example, Tokyo, the population of Tokyo, I think, is 9 million for the Tokyo, the district of Tokyo. But if you look at the metropolitan area of Tokyo, which I think is worth doing, because Tokyo is effectively just one big continuous city, the metropolitan area, 36 million people. Mm. So it's my little rant about population numbers. Although I did screw up Kyoto the other week, didn't I? I screwed up Kyoto about three weeks ago.
I find sort of like numbers and kind of they're impressive if they're miles away from anything else. But I mean Kyoto's amount of people that live there, I couldn't care less, really. I'm sure you wouldn't either.
I'm not going to go down that road again. I think it was 2 million and I said it was 22 million because I got it confused with the Kanto area as a whole. Yeah, my bad. Hello, Chris and Pete. My
name is Settling Scores with Chris Roll.
Yeah, that's right. That's how I roll. Kanto. Am I getting that right? Oh, I don't know. Right, hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Pavel.
You're melting down, mate. Have another boss coffee.
I'm getting mixed up with Kansai. Right, god damn it. Kansai, I think, is 20 million people.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'm going to get shot to pieces in the podcast fax machine. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Pavel. I've been a fan of your videos ever since my trip to Japan in 2017, thanks to YouTube algorithms that suggested the channel. And also... very obviously tracked my movements. Yes, the YouTube algorithm is rather sinister, I must admit, these days. Recently, Chris tweeted a hate comment of someone offended by the latest Journey Across Japan video, the one that featured the bee larvae. And offended people in YouTube comment sections is nothing uncommon, but it made me wonder whether or not you've got any podcast hate mail, or haters and offended folk usually who can't be... Or are haters and offended folk usually... Can't they be bothered with writing an actual email? If there are cases of hate mail, does anything stand out, or is it simply unremarkable? Keep up the good work. All the best, Pavel from Moscow. We don't get that much hate mail in the Abroad in Japan podcast folder because we've cleverly given the fax machine podcast folder email address a really long, complicated name. And so we only get the creme de la creme.
You can't fire it off.
You can't. If you're going to write... hate mail to Pete and I, you've got to first write abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Then you've got to write the whole message. And you've got to send it. It's a lot of effort, isn't it? And then no one's going to see it.
And I don't. And whereas, like, you could, if you get upset about the quality or the quantity of the emails, you can't blame me because I don't have access to the mailbox. I don't pick any of the emails. Chris protects me from myself and protects me from all of the haters. And I thank Chris for that because I'm sure there's a few who can't stand
me. The reason you don't have access to the fax machine in general, is because you forgot the password. I gave it to you 2 years ago and you forgot it.
Oh,
so you can't read our
mail. There's that as well, obviously.
But I mean, we get some mail occasionally. People who are offended by things we say. Political, we get that a lot. Don't get political, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, you know, Pete and I are very opinionated folks, but we do a good job keeping politics out of it, which is good, I think, because you do for the most part, because I know you love politics. And
I think the sort of people who say keep politics out of X, Y, and Z, they have no idea that everything is inherently political. Everything in our lives is political.
Potentially.
So they're going to have a miserable time, aren't they?
But I mean, yeah, we get that every now and then. But yeah, I think we keep politics out of the podcast, which I understand because it's about Japan. It's about escaping. We do get a few. But you know what? That's the way it is. And it's nothing like the sort of hate comments I get on YouTube. It's nothing like people calling me out for being disrespectful for eating hornet larvae in a way that doesn't appreciate the production of hornet larvae. What a ridiculous comment. Going down that road again. How triggered I was last week with that hate mail. Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with me? Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com, but not the hate. And don't tell us not to get political when we don't often. But thank you guys for listening. Oh, no, there was one, Pete, actually. There was hate mail. Last week, somebody said we shouldn't talk about how the track and trace program in the UK isn't working, because we talked about that.
Yeah, we shouldn't say that. Right.
Don't get angry about that, even though it's not working. Oh, no, it's ridiculous. Rubbish. Who cares? Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again. At this time of recording, I think the next episode of Journey Across Japan is coming out about a capsule hotel. So keep an eye out for that. But for now, guys, enjoy the start of your week and the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Have yourself a good one. All the best. Ta-ta.
I'm off to get a donut.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.